So tell me, how long have you been using nasal high flow in your practice?
The first time we used high flow oxygen was 10 years before. And my first experience was in a woman who were pregnant with an acute respiratory failure due to pulmonary edema in a context of beta 2 agonist treatments. So she arrived when I was duty, and finally we applied high flow, and she tolerated very well. And I was expected the time that I will intubate her, but finally she succeeded, and we didn't have to intubate this woman. And then a few weeks after, we had the flu epidemia, and also we apply it very often. And sometimes, of course, it failed, but sometimes also it succeeded. So then we try to design a study evaluating the comfort and the feasibility, and then we start the story of our research on high flow.
So you've got clearly a lot of experience in the ICU setting, and you've conducted some published research at the very highest level. Tell me, how's that influenced your practice?
Yes, when we first used high flow and decided to design the FLORALI study, our hypothesis was that NIV in association with high flow could be superior to high flow alone and standard oxygen. But finally, at the end and the study and regarding the results, we were very surprised of them, because high flow alone was the best treatment. And finally, as it is very easy to use, it has changed our practice, and currently all patients admitted in ICU with acute respiratory failure are treated first with high flow. In case of severity, of course, same level of severity as we have in the study of the FLORALI study. And then we also used it in all patients, even after extubation, to prevent re-intubation. That's why we conducted a second study, Arnaud Thiel, my colleague, in which the hypothesis was that the association of NIV, this time with high flow, could be superior. And this study, called IWIN study, show in fact that this association was the best treatment, because it decreases the intubation rate from 80% to 12%. So now we use high flow in hypoxemic respiratory failure, but also after extubation of patients at high risk of reintubation, but in this case in association with NIV.
So now let's consider intubation. What do you see the role that nasal high flow has in terms of supporting intubation?
Indeed, there are several studies showing the benefits of high flow as compared to a bag mask during the intubation procedure. The first one was an after-before study, but in mild or moderate hypoxemic patient. And there was, after this study, observational study, a trial, a randomized control trial, showing no difference between the bag mask and high flow during intubation procedure in a severe moderate hypoxemic patient. And therefore, the same author conducted another study, but in mild hypoxemic patient, and this time it was another trial, randomized controlled trial, conducted in France in 20 centers. And they reported that with high flow, there was less serious events, less cardiac arrest or desaturation or hypotension as compared to the conventional oxygenation during intubation procedure. But we recently also published that in moderate to severe hypoxemic patient, non-invasive ventilation was superior to high flow to prevent the risk of severe hypoxemia, which was defined by SpO2 less than 80%. So in our practice, in patients having neurologic disorder without hypoxemia, we use high flow for the intubation procedure. This is a possibility in our unit, but in patients with hypoxemia or patient previously treated with high flow, we applied non-invasive ventilation during pre-oxygenation.
Post-extubation support of an ICU patient, it's complex. Where does nasal high flow, in your opinion, where does it sit in terms of opportunity to support these patients?
So this period should be first divided in two situations and two indications for oxygen device. Oxygen device can be used as prophylactic treatment to prevent reintubation, and oxygen device are also used as curative treatment. And studies assessing high flow comparatively with other oxygen device applied high flow as prophylactic treatment. And the first ones was conducted in Spain by Gonzalo Hernandez, in which first he compared high flow oxygen therapy with standard oxygen in patients with a low risk of reintubation. And in this study, the duration of ventilation was in mean 2 days, and the main of the indication of ventilation was all neurologic disorder or in postoperative period. So in this study, high flow was better than standard oxygen to prevent reintubation. And then the same author conducted another study in high-risk patients of reintubation with a very complex definition of high-risk patient, but we will return to this notion after. And in this study, other reported equivalent effect of high flow with non-invasive ventilation. It was a non-inferiority study, so meaning that high flow applied during 24 hours as compared to NIV applied 24 hours was able in the same manner to prevent reintubation. And recently, our group with Arno Thiel conducted another randomized controlled trial comparing high flow oxygen therapy, because it was at the time we designed the study the reference treatment, and with the association of non-invasive ventilation with high flow in high risk patient as prophylactic treatment after extubation. And the definition of high risk patient was very simple, and this is the definition we use in our unit. It was age more than 65 years old. It was history of cardiac failure or chronic lung disease, so a large part of patient admitted in medical ICU. And the results of this study show that patients treated with NIV in association with high flow, 12 hours of each per day, was the best treatment because it decreases the intubation rate from, as I said before, 80% to 12%. So in our practice, patients after extubation are immediately treated with NIV during 4 hours, and then they are alternatively treated with high flow and non-invasive ventilation.
So in your practice, when you initiate nasal high flow therapy, what oxygen concentration and flow rates do you start the therapy on in your practice?
In case of acute hypoxemic respiratory failure, we set high flow with a high gas flow of 50 liters per minute, according to what was proposed in the protocol of our publication, the FLORALI study. And FiO2 is set to obtain an SpO2 above 92%. So it can change during the course of the treatment, of course. But in case of poor tolerance of patient, we will keep the temperature at the maximum 37 degrees, and we will first decrease the gas flow. And then, if it's possible, we will set it at the maximum secondary if a patient tolerate it. But we prefer to keep the temperature at 37 degrees.
So in your research, as far as I've read, and in other research I have read, the starting flows you used were 50 litres per minute on average. What was the thinking behind that?
At this time, we have not a lot of data, but we wanted to benefit of all the physiological effect of the system. And this system will provide a PEEP effect at a high level of gas flow. And the higher the gas flow, the higher the PEEP effect. Mm-hmm. And we know that after a physiological study conducted after the clinical study. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason to start a high flow, because we believe on a high PEEP effect, higher PEEP effect at the maximum gas flow.
So let's talk about weaning from nasal high flow therapy, and what do you do in your practice, and do you wean the oxygen first or the flow first or a combination?
That's a very good question. There is no data about that. What we do in our unit is, in case of high flow applied for patient with hypoxemic respiratory failure, we first decrease FiO2 according to the level of SpO2 and blue gas samples, because we want to provide the PEEP effect of gas flow in this setting. So after decreasing FiO2 to a level about 60-50%, then if patient has recovered, we will decrease the gas flow, but very progressively. But at the condition that patient have recovered, means that the respiratory rate is below 25 breaths per minute. And this condition, we will start to decrease gas flow after decreasing FiO2.
So in terms of monitoring patients whilst they're on nasal high flow therapy, what is your recommendation?
So first, patient should be in a place where close monitoring is possible, as in emergency department, ICU, or high dependency unit. Second, patient should be monitored with their respiratory rate, SpO2, and blue gas samples should be obtained regularly during the course of acute respiratory failure.
In terms of a requirement to escalation, let's consider a patient you have commenced a therapy on, you've commenced nasal high flow therapy on, you are now assessing them in terms of their need for further intervention or escalation of care. What would you be looking for? What are the indicators that the patient is going to need more support?
Before escalation, we have to let the opportunity of the treatment to be efficient. So in the FLORALI study, in mean, patients were intubating the one who were treated with high flow after 20 hours, in mean, of course. Then what we use in our practice to decide intubation or not are the criteria we proposed in the FLORALI study, and there were three types of criteria: respiratory criteria, persistent or impairment of sign of respiratory distress, including two criteria within the following. It was clinical sign of muscle fatigue or decreasing in SpO2 or persistent hypoxemia less than 100 millimeter of mercury with FiO2 above 80%, and also acidosis, whatever the cause. And this was the first criteria, and also respiratory rate, above 40 breath per minute was a strong criteria to decide intubation. And of course, if there is an impairment of neurologic status, meaning agitation or Glasgow Coma Scale less than 12 point, this is a reason to intubate patient. And as concern hemodynamic criteria, of course, hemodynamic instability has been described to be associated with poor outcome of patient having non-invasive strategy of oxygenation. And in the FLORALI study, we propose to intubate patient if they required vasopressor or if there were persistent hypotension. But finally, in clinical practice, we tolerate very low dose of norepinephrine, in case of no other criteria of intubation. So, of course, there are also publications describing or assessing pooling clinical criteria to decide intubation, like the ROX index. ROX index is the ratio between SpO2 and FiO2 divided by the respiratory rate. So it means that oxygenation level and high respiratory rate are the indicator of intubation. So you can use it, but it's not really easy to calculate it. But in fact, this index include all the clinical parameters that are monitored by nurses in patients in ICU. In addition, we conducted a post-hoc analysis of the FLORALI study, determining the factors associated with intubation. And we did not publish this data because reviewer preferred to have data on the whole population, but we determined in the population at risk of intubation, those having a PF ratio less than 200 millimeter of mercury, that when the respiratory rate was above or exceeded 30 breaths per minute, patients were at high risk of intubation. So this is a very simple criteria. Mm. And in our practice, of course, we monitor blue gas sample and SpO2, but when a patient had a respiratory rate above this limit of 30 breaths per minute, we monitor them very closely because there is a high risk of intubation.
What's your current focus now? What are you working on now?
As you asked before, there is finally a little gap still in patients having acute hypoxemic respiratory failure because there was another French study reported conflicting results, but it was in the group of immunocompromised patients having acute respiratory failure. And this study showed no difference between standard oxygen and high flow. Mm-hmm. And this was conflicting with the results of Florali study showing mm-hmm. benefits of high flow as compared to standard oxygen and NIV. And that's why we are conducting another randomized controlled trial comparing standard oxygen with high flow again, but this time in patients with moderate to severe hypoxemic respiratory failure. So the group at risk of intubation in the Florali study, patient having a PF ratio less than 200 millimeter of mercury. And this will be a very large study because we want to include 1,100 patients. So we expect about 60 centers participating to this study.
And the name of that study?
Ah, yes. This is a SOHO study.
SOHO.
For standard oxygen versus high flow oxygen. SOHO study.
Nice acronym.
Thank you.